In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So last week we processed into the Church with lighted candles, and we chanted, "We are the light of the world. Light, no darkness overcomes," which is clearly taken from today's gospel, in which Jesus says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." He tells them not to hide their light, to let their good deeds so shine before others that they will give glory to God. Now, I don't know if it occurred to you today, it certainly occurred to me last week, that this is somewhat at odds with chapter 8 of John's Gospel, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world, not you, I." Here we were walking around saying, "I am the light." And then there is that long instruction in the very next chapter of Matthew's Gospel about not letting other people see your good works. When you give alms, give them in secret. When you pray, go to your secret place. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, I'm not sure that it resolves the conflict, but I do think that we are talking about a very different quality of light. It's like the difference between Northern European and Southern European art. It's a vast difference in the light. We're so accustomed to lights that dazzle and flash, like that light over there. Lights that dance around. Just walk down University Avenue and every shopfront screams at night, "Look at me, look at me, come in." We now have light that can not only cut through flesh, it can cut through steel. Lights that are dangerous, lights that are powerful, lights that can destroy as well as heal, lights that are not to be trifled with. But of course, for the vast majority of Christian history, and certainly in Jesus' time, there was no such thing as this type of light. No LEDs, no fluorescent lights, no incandescent lights, not even gas light. For most of history, our forebears in the faith had gathered around oil lamps and candles. Just as last Sunday we carry candles, then every year we gather around a fire out in the courtyard at the Easter Vigil. We light the Paschal candle over there from the fire. We process into the church carrying our small candles and watch as the church is gently, gradually illuminated. I think one of the liturgically incorrect but most beautiful moments of the Christmas liturgy is when, just before the gospel, we sing Silent Night and stand around with lighted candles. To this day, to this place, to right now, we light candles around the altar. We light candles on special occasions, birthdays, romantic dinners, any occasion when what we want to do is draw attention to someone or something else. We tend to know how to shun lights that scream, "Look at me," when it's important that we look somewhere else. And instead we automatically, reflexively, from our long history, we reach for something gentle, for something soft, something that enhances, gently illuminates, that gives beauty, and doesn't blind. I don't think it's any accident that Paul reminds the Corinthians that when he came among them, he didn't draw attention to himself through lofty words or through wisdom, but he came instead in fear and trembling and weakness. He wasn't there to impress Baptist, he was pointing away from himself towards someone and something far greater. He was consciously decreasing so that Jesus might increase. And thinking of those readings, carrying them through this week, I found it jarring to listen and watch the presidential debate candidates. Isn't it telling that the day after, every report picked up on those rare few instances when people actually demonstrated some graciousness, when they paid compliments, when they stopped talking about themselves and honored somebody else, acknowledged that there actually might be possibly someone else beside themselves who's gifted and intelligent and trustworthy. We saw on that stage, as we see so often, good, honorable, highly motivated people being drawn into being someone else because that's what we demand, and someone less. And that's what we see all around us every day. What we've grown to expect, what we've grown to demand, and you and I feel ourselves being drawn constantly down that same path, becoming someone else and someone less. And all the while, we long for just that glimpse of dignity and generosity and courtesy, integrity. And because that's what we validate here over and over again among ourselves. If you Google image a salt and light in today's gospel, the image will come up, which is no doubt has been reproduced in a million church bulletins around the world today, of a salt shaker next to a light bulb. And it seems to me this is such a distortion of what Jesus is actually saying, because this is not about adding a condiment or a white light from a filament. It's not something you can shake out or flick on and off. This is about who we are at the very core of our being. This is how we relate to one another, how we connect with one another. This is how you and I participate in God's ongoing work of creating beauty and trust and joy and safety, in the same way that God has created that for us in His Son. Think of the people that who have made the deepest impression on your life, people who have formed you and made you who you are, who have inspired you, affirmed you, encouraged you, people who have believed in you and trusted that you could do this. Was there one among them that was an egotist, a grandstander, a narcissist? Did any one of them demand to occupy the center stage, every stage? Did they demand adulation and compliance? Or did they use their light to show forth yours, to accentuate your intelligence, your beauty, your gifts, your generosity and competence, your being? They were the light bearers, not angels of darkness. But we have come here, as we have so often over the last few months, to honor our dead. We have never praised them for their aggressiveness, for their cunning, for their commercial successes, for their ability to ride roughshod over everyone who dared to cross them. Here we have recalled stories of service, of humility, of generosity, of creating possibilities for other people, for raising good kids. Not for being searchlights that reveal every crack and flaw, but lamps that have revealed beauty without drawing attention to themselves. This is the light of the world. This is the light that Isaiah loosing the bonds of injustice, letting the oppressed go free, breaking every yoke, sharing your bread with the hungry, bringing the homeless poor into your house, covering the naked. Here we find ourselves surrounded by lives of such extraordinary fidelity and quiet selflessness and heroic perseverance. Here we taste the salt of the earth. Here we see the light of the world. If we have eyes to see and an appetite to thrill at that same. Curiously, here we seem to be remembered best for how we have sought to be forgotten, how we have deflected attention away from ourselves and preferred to be obscure. Stand in the presence.